Thanks for hitting that button. You are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
All right, guys, you ready to rock? Are you excited? Well, sit back and enjoy. And welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. Hope everyone's having a great day. We have a great episode in store for you, so sit back and enjoy the show. Hey guys, just want to let everybody know that if you're looking for a good suspense thriller action novel, check out the book written by me, Mark the Shark, called The Cabal, The Saga Begins. If you go to my website now, www.retortofamilybooks, you can get an autographed signed copy for only $8 plus shipping. Again, go to www.retortofamilybooks.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah Driggs, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
One. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Mark the Shark MMA Show. Today, I got Zane online in his first ever interview with a fighter. Usually, I do these interviews by myself. And we got UFC fighter, veteran, Sal Malve. How you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's always a pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure. Yeah, so how's it going? You got a fight coming up. I believe it's next Saturday, right? February 5th?
Today, a week from today, I get to step back in the octagon.
Wow. Yeah. So, guys, it's a UFC fight night. It takes place in Vegas. For some strange reason, starts a lot earlier. It starts at 4 o'clock. I was checking that out. I'm like, it's Vegas. Usually they only do that with Abu Dhabi, where they started out a little earlier than that. So how's your training going?
I had a great camp. This is the first fight. I did the first half of my camp in Tennessee where I moved to. And then the last month I've been out here in California working with Dan Henderson again. So things have been going real well. Put everything together, no injuries. And my weight's coming off. So I've been pretty happy with how I'm going into this fight.
That's great. Now, before I get started with my questions, I think, Zane, you had some questions you wanted to ask him?
Well, I just have my number one question is, I think a lot of people, a lot of fans don't understand what fighters go through in the background. Some people have full-time jobs because they're not making $1 million like maybe all the headliners. And also they tend to have to train against friends or go to different camps, and there's a lot of politics with that. So I was wondering, I guess, if you can summarize how you feel in your circle with your trainers, with the people that you train with friends of yours that are also trying to make it, and maybe if you can just enlighten us a little bit on that aspect.
Yeah, I'm one of the fighters. I don't have another job. I teach privates here and there, and every now and then I'll do a class for the gym I'm working out at. But for the most part, I just fight. I've got a lot of kids as well. I've got 5 and and a beautiful wife. And actually, the second half of my camp here, I'm out in California. My wife is at home doing everything with all the kids. So I've had a real easy rest of my camp out here. But life has always been good. I love what I do. I'm one of those guys that I'd be willing to do what I do, even if I wasn't getting paid. Luckily they are paying me all right. And,
you get paid to do what you love. That's great.
Yeah. And I really do love it. I have never had any problems with any of my coaches. My training partners are, as strong now as ever before. And, I've really put together a solid camp and a solid lifestyle for myself.
That's fantastic. It just seems so fortunate that we get a chance to talk to a fighter and they have a delightful home life. Sometimes that's not exactly, the same with some other fighters that we might've seen on TV, some unfortunate business. So that's great that your wife is behind you. And it seems like, you know, you're, your family life. You have five, you know, hopefully healthy kids. And it just seems like everyone's like supporting dad. That's, I just think that's wonderful. So
yeah, it's always been important to us that our family is, I mean, family's always going to come first. So my oldest date, I've got two twins that are two. So they're all real close together, all real young, and they've been with the gym. I mean, all of them have been to the gym before they've been home. They're born, we take them to the gym, and then we go home. And that's, I mean, across the board, that's what we've been doing. And we've been just me particularly, I've been blessed with how loving and supporting and intelligent my wife has been with everything as well.
I'm real, real happy for you. So a shout out to mom for being so supportive and taking care of those kids while dad gets to do what he loves. So I'm just very, very happy that we get to show everyone, you know, a certain behind the scenes, if you will, on a very supportive family. And you actually just seem just a lot nicer of a guy than I even thought before. He just seemed like a happy-go-lucky. He's a smiling guy, but I never want to mess with him. I'm just so happy that we get along with him. So.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, your wife is your manager, right?
She's my manager. She's my chief corner. She's been in the corner of every fight I've ever had. I've had over 70 of them, and she's been there for all of them. She's my manager. She's really responsible for how successful I have been in my career.
Yeah.
So now, does she also train, and did you meet each other in, I guess, cross paths or?
No, I met her at a Renaissance fair. I was selling steak, almost steak. And she was selling bodices. We met there. This was 16 years, 5 months, and now 27 days ago.
Down to the day.
We met, and I wasn't fighting. She wasn't doing anything she's doing. We just kind of grew into it. Somebody offered me, hey, you want to fight? And I said, sure. And it was cheaper if she, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. But if she was my corner, she didn't have to buy a ticket. So I said, okay, you'd be my corner. And she took it a lot more serious than I ever did. She's the reason I moved out to California to train. And she trains as well. She's better at jiu-jitsu than I'll ever be. We've really grown into this sport, into this lifestyle together.
That's great. Now, with your fight coming up next week, your opponent is Phil Hawes. Now, mm-hmm. by coincidence, I don't know the guy, but I do know that he's from the area that I reside in Jersey, in Bergen County, New Jersey. So I thought that was kind of funny. But how do you see this particular fight coming out? Do you see it as more as, because he seems to be more of like a grappler, he's a Division I wrestler and so forth. And you seem to be more like, you know, stand-up striker type of fighter. Do you think this would be the typical grappler versus striker match? Like, what's your game plan for this particular fight?
I'm not so sure. He has a lot of knockouts as well. He doesn't have as many as me, but he's got a lot of them. He was a D1 wrestler. He's got incredible ground game, but he knows as well as I do that the fans much prefer big knockouts striking. And he's always, in almost his entire UFC career and just before his UFC career, he only wrestled if he had to. If he wrestles, it means I've hurt him. But I do think his head coach is a Muay Thai instructor, a very, very well known Muay Thai instructor. And I suspect it'll be more of a stand up fight, but I trained with Dan Henderson. He's an Olympic wrestler. And so I have definitely put my hours in wrestling as well.
Well, that's great. That's great. Now, with this particular match coming up, did you find yourself training differently, like in general, do you train differently in preparation with who you're fighting, or do you train the same no matter who you get in the ring with?
It doesn't matter who I get in the ring with. I'm training the same for everyone. I know where my strengths are. I know what I need to work on, and that's kind of what I try and progress. I try and make my weaknesses stronger and my strengths even stronger yet. And that's always been the case. I've always enjoyed what I do. And so I don't want to change everything just to try and do something a little different for him.
Okay. I guess because I see some fighters where they train, they target, like if they know the guy's like a great grappler, they'll try to train a little differently with the mind of keeping the fight on their feet if they're not so good at grappling, and vice versa. If they're good at grappling, they'll do the strategies to keep it on the ground. With your particular opponent, do you feel he's got any weaknesses that you can exploit, or?
His experience, I've got, like I said, I've got over 70 fights. And he's got, I think, 12 or 13. I vastly have more experience than he is. And I mean, any position he puts me in, I will have been there before. And he hasn't been. I can get him in some places that he hasn't been before. He's like, wrestlers are hard to bully, but I've been wrestling, I mean, with some of the greatest in the world for a minute. So I'm hoping I get to bully him a little bit.
Okay. Now, throughout.
I'm sorry, Mark. I just have to piggyback off of what Sam. It just seems a very intelligent fighter. You do seem like Sam. He just knows his, I believe, his strengths and weaknesses very well. And I think that some fighters maybe don't know that yet. Maybe they're more of a beginner. And like you said, he's been put in pretty much every situation already. So that experience, he's going to gas less. I think that sometimes when you get a very strong fighter that maybe is good at fighting, it takes a lot out of you when you get nervous, when you get put into a position, and then all of a sudden your wind starts to die down. But Sam just seems like calm under fire. Seems like no matter where he goes, he's not going to get nervous. He might get hurt, might get taken down, but it does. I think that that's a large part that sometimes fighters or even fans don't know of, is that being calm in a fight, it saves energy. And I think with experience, you know, you're going to get that.
Yeah. I've been around the block a time or two. I'm 35 with over 70 fights. I have done this, and the nerves have never really been an issue, but particularly now. I know what I've got to do. I know what I'm capable of, and I know what he's going to try and do. And so I go into every fight pretty confident and really relaxed.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. There's a jiu-jitsu saying, I'm trying to think of it. Something like getting used to the pressure, but the phrase kind of escapes me. I forget the phrase that they use a lot, but it's pretty much the saying is getting used to being under pressure, being comfortable being under pressure is pretty much what the saying goes, but I forget the exact words. Now, throughout your career, like, was there any one particular fighter that you thought was like the toughest guy you ever met in the ring?
Well, in the ring, it's Nate Marquardt. He was my coach on The Ultimate Fighter, and he's an incredible human being, and I got the opportunity to fight him. So I got to fight my coach, and that was really pretty cool. But person I've ever trained with, Dan Henderson's my head coach, and there's never been a person tougher than him. I mean, he's just better at everything than everyone, and I don't understand how. The dude doesn't bleed. It's crazy. And so Dan Henderson is next level human being.
Yeah, he's like – what is he like? Over? He's got to be in his mid-40s now, right?
He's 52.
Holy shit. He's older than me.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still beats up the room. Crazy.
Damn, man. And he doesn't, like, he still goes at it, right? Like, nothing.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. No, and he's the one that'll hit you too hard. He said, oh, sorry, you kind of went into it. And that's been, he's knocked people out in the practice room more than once. He's, oh, I pulled the punch, but he was kind of came in. It's like, yeah. So he's real funny with that, but he is next level athlete.
Yeah.
Sam, what weight do you usually walk? Like, what do you feel comfortable walking around in?
I get between 220 and 230, between camps. Okay. And then I cut down to 185. So right now I'm about 208. By next Friday, I'll be 186 for a few minutes, and then I'll pop back up.
Wow. That's
pretty good. Where have you always, because I think that you've went back and forth, 185, 205, or vice versa. Are those the two weight classes that you, have you competed in both?
I'm pretty sure you've done heavyweight before, haven't you? I thought you did light heavyweight.
I have done heavyweight, but it was like, I was just, the guy missed weight. So I was a heavyweight for a fight. As an amateur, I've done a couple of heavyweight fights. As a pro, my first 11 or 12 fights were at light heavyweight, and then almost my entire career has been middleweight, and then the last couple of years I went up to light heavyweight again for a few fights, and now I'm back to middleweight.
All right. So I think that's a smart move, I think, to be a bigger guy at 185.
I agree. I know he can make the weight. I mean, I hate sitting in that sauna in that hot tub, but I can do it. So yeah, I just take advantage of what I can do. And I really like being the bigger guy in the ring.
Wow. Now, out of all your fights, was there one particular match that, like, you know, you got all pumped up and you trained your heart out and you got in there and you were like, wow, this fight's really easy. Like, this, I'm like wiping the floor with this guy. Was there like one particular fighter you thought like, wow, this is way too easy?
Nothing that really just pops out to me, but I've got 21 or 22 knockouts and I've got like 10 first round knockouts. I've never expected to get the first round knockouts, but they come. And when I get them, I'm thrilled with it. So when I get those big knockouts, it's like, yes, I did all that work for this. And I'm always happy.
Wow. Now, were you a guy that always had that punching power, or was that something that you acquired?
That was my next question, Mark. See, that's why Mark and I are friends for such a long time. I've always wondered about that, right?
Because there's some guys who absolutely got like that.
Some guys
natural just power.
They know how to swing. They know how to connect.
Sometimes it's accuracy, like they know where to hit and how to hit.
For me, it is nothing other than that's what I've always done. I mean, I never trained anything when I first started fighting. I was the head coach of the gym I started, and I didn't know anything. But the one thing I did is I could hit hard. And I didn't realize I hit hard, but they kept falling over. And eventually people say, hey, good for you. I said, okay. So it's all that. That's my natural gift. You know, everyone, I'm not particularly fast. I'm not particularly this or that, but I hit like a truck.
And you take a shot too.
I wish people know that. People know that means I've been hit.
Yeah, I would much saying, rather like, not get hit. I've seen you in fights where, like the first round, like the guys got, you know, or first half of the round, the guys like teeing off on you, and then all of a sudden you just land that one shot and they're out.
Yeah,
that's what I remember. I mean, I've been watching you for a long time now. Mm-hmm.
But if it happens, it happens.
Yeah,
I think the thing is, if you were in a fight and oh yeah, he hits really hard, but you're Glass Joe, no one's gonna remember you. But you know, you're Sam Alvey. You could take a shot, and when you land, it is effective. So that's why you've been around for such a long time. You'd knock people out. You could take a punch, and you know, some people just have enough skills, whether they're just a few of them. I mean, look at Dan Henderson, right? He's got the, you know
wrestling and in the hand, that one hand.
He's got a bomb too.
Right hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the same boxing coach, and the boxing coach says I hit harder than him. But we'll see.
Holy shit. Boxing coach says I hit harder than him. That's great. That's great though, man. Wow. So now you're on the main card next week. What are your predictions for this fight? Do you think it's going to go the whole distance, or do you think you're going to knock him out in the first round?
Like, no, the judges hate me. They hate my style. They hate redheads. I don't know what it is. So if it goes the distance, I lose. So it's not going the distance. What I do tell everyone, and it's I've always said this, is when they ask, well, what's your prediction? I'm going to submit him in the third. That is always my answer, no matter who I'm fighting. But I'll submit him in the third.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that might be the case. But I know that you like knocking people out. I get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you submitting him, he's just, you know, if you knock the guy out, he's not tapping or.
Yeah.
I got a question on that.
To finish.
I know that Sam likes. I know that Sam likes knocking people out. That's understood. But whenever you do train, you know, the ground, is there a particular, whether it's a position or a particular maneuver or just a finish that you like for jiu-jitsu, a lockup, you know, something that's not a knockout?
Yeah, you know, I'm a one stripe or two stripe brown belt in jiu-jitsu. So, I mean, I'm on the ground as much as anyone. But it's really, it's the ones that hurt. I'm not a big fan of the rear naked choke because they don't hurt. So I, if I can, if there's the opportunity to make him remember he was submitted by me, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So you prefer more joint locks than choke holds?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're way better. chokes, you fall asleep, you wake up great. You're feeling wonderful. But if you can break someone or make them tap because it hurts, that's something else.
I'm thinking a bigger guy, top game, some sort of version of a Kimura or something like that, where, you know, that seems like a pretty, you know, where you're stretching him for, you know, and his arm is, you know, I'm thinking like something like that. I can see, you know, you maybe pulling off if you even chose to go for a lock, you know, if you're on top, I'm imagining there's going to be some bombs being thrown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man, Zane, you got any more questions for him or?
No, I just, first of all, I just like to tell him again, this was an honor. You know, first of all, my first welcome onto the show, Mark the Shark Show, where I got an opportunity to talk to a real veteran, not even just a UFC fighter, but a veteran. And it was nice to start off with you. You know, I hope I have, I'm invited to more interviews, but you've been just a super great guy. And I wish you the best in this fight next week.
Yeah. Hey, I really appreciate that, sir. Thank you so much. And thank you for wanting me on your show.
Yeah, Sam, you know, maybe we'll do another, have you back on after the show. Do a recap, man.
Oh, that would be cool.
All right, man. Well, best of luck to you. We'll be watching your fight next weekend and looking forward to it, man.
Hey, I thank you again, guys.
All right. Say hello to Dan for us. I'm a big fan of his too.
I'll let him know.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, if you're into historical fiction, then check out the new book by James Lopez called Dios Vault, A Tale of the First Crusade, a book about a young knight who fights under the order of the Pope to recapture the city of Jerusalem until a stranger changes his beliefs about the post-proclamation. Find out more when you buy the book on Amazon.com. Check it out today. Available in both Kindle format and paperback. Hi everyone. Well, unfortunately, all good things must come to an end, and that's all we have for this particular podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you keep following my podcast here, the Mark the Shark Show, and keep listening and look out for future podcast episodes.